This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Happy Tuesday. DNR, 98.7 ESPN, Dan Grasso, Rick DiPietro. I'm back. You guys couldn't keep me away. I liked it so much last week. I said, you know what, let me sneak in one more day here.
You shot out of a cannon this morning.
You believe that? Let me tell you something, in all seriousness. And I was telling this to RJ when I first saw him this morning. I don't know. Just doing this law last week, I'm in the mode now where I actually beat my alarm this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I shot out of bed this morning before 4. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
You
I'm like unlocking the doors
too.
Of the building.
You were here bright and early,
too. How about that?
Parking in garages.
Oh.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I parked in the garage a lot last week. You got it. You can't find
hot
parking.
Hot takes? Second you walked in, hot takes?
No hot takes. Whoa. No hot takes.
That was spicy.
You think so?
It's spicy.
I don't know. Maybe we'll bring it back up a little bit later on. We'll see. If time permits, of course. And by the way, this portion of the show driven by the All American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford Group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Of course, we got RJ, we got Ray, and we're hanging out with you till 10 a.m. this morning. But I couldn't keep away from you guys. I had so much fun last week. I said I got to come back.
I'm going to need you this morning, buddy.
Why's
I'm going to need you for all four. Not a great mood today at all.
Would that have anything to do with what happened last night in sports, particularly on the ice, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would all have to do with that. Control your destiny. You got to do is win last night, and then you get the Canadians. That's it.
Forget about win.
Compete.
I mean, find out what time the game starts, because apparently they thought the game started, an hour later, an 8 o'clock?
The team was done. Washington's done. No Ovechkin, no Oshie. First minute.
How does that happen, by the way?
Night,
and, of course,
night.
We're talking about the Islanders last night, who mailed it in down in D.C. in the game that meant everything for them, nothing for Washington, and they fall behind 3-0 before you're even in your seat.
Yeah, 2-0 before you're even in your seat, and then, 3-0 in the first period, and it's over.
It just can't be.
No, can't have it happen.
It can't happen.
No.
By the way, that is an outstanding ESPN NHL little quarter zip that you got today.
Thank you.
Good color scheme.
Thank you.
So you're trying to at least keep the hockey theme going,
right?
Even though that it didn't bring you a lot of enjoyment last night.
No, I know RJ went to the Rangers game by himself last night. He's wearing Levi jeans now because it's all about Devin Levi.
Woo!
So I figured I would partake.
Give RJ credit too. He's here. He's doing his thing like he always does. And I talked to him yesterday afternoon. He said he's going to the game because it's, of course, his Sabres. You know, they're in town. And they're in Jersey tonight, as a matter of fact, trying to spoil the Devils' pursuit of a Metropolitan Division title. But I said, how long are you going to stay for the game? He's like, I don't know. Maybe I'll stay a couple of periods, depending on how the game's going. This game goes into overtime. This game goes into a shootout. RJ stayed the entire time supporting his team. How about that?
That's because he drank a 32-ounce.
That's true.
32-ounce Coke.
You enjoyed that. You enjoyed that caffeine, right, Arj?
Hey, it was a Diet Coke, right?
That a boy.
Did you really go diet?
Slurping on it.
I'm not a believer of, you know. Oh, it's less this, more this. I actually like. I don't know how you guys are. I actually prefer the taste of diet soda. If I'm going to go soda,
Diet Pepsi. I'm a Diet Pepsi guy.
I like the taste better.
Yeah. Is the Garden a Coke or a Pepsi vehicle?
It's Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Love the diet.
All
Pepsi.
32 ounces right to the face.
Wow.
Right to the face.
RJ's like, give me the NutraSweet.
Yes.
Well, I walked up. I was thinking I was going to get, you know, maybe a 12, maybe a 16 if I went wild. They said, well, at this station, sir, we only have one size. It's 32 ounces.
See, and RJ went last night as a fancy member of the media, because technically, of course, he is.
He is.
And so the way they do it at the Garden, though, like, there's no such thing as press dining, press food anymore, you know, I guess in this post-COVID world. So what they do is, each member of the media that attends the game, covering the game, you get, like, a voucher, like a gift card type thing. And it's, what, 25, right?
They're very generous, yes.
$25. I mean, think about it. He goes and gets that one soda. That takes about 18 off the 25. And then did you do any? And you said you got a pretzel, right? Like, sprinkled the pretzel on the rest?
A little pretzel. Walk around. You walk in the shadow of one Raymond Santiago.
Oh, I mean, that's the big boss.
He's the guy.
You turn one corner, it's him and Dave Maloney. You turn another, it's him and Kenny Albert. You turn, the guy knows everybody.
It's the Rangers greats and Raymond Santiago. That's how it works at the Garden. Santiago gets $50. They didn't give him 25.
That's a lie.
He doesn't even need a card. He just literally walks up and they get, Ray, we got this, Ray. It's on the house, Ray.
Well, to put it into context how important he is. At one point, because I got there the first period, I was sitting in my area. I was like, hey, I'll come by the booth, say hey. He goes, so I missed him at one point, and we were texting during the first intermission. He goes, I'll be right back. I have to go get Tarasenko.
Look at this guy.
That's what I'm dealing with.
Look at this guy. Whatever Raymond needs, Raymond gets.
You and Vladdy.
That almost sounded like he was settling disputes. I have to go get Tarasenko. Like he was being detained for some reason. You know, like the questionable item in his baggage. I have to go get Tarasenko out of trouble.
I'm like,
because Ray has that authority to do that.
I'm like, I'll be right here. Me and my 32-ounce soda.
Right, he walks right in during Coach Gallant's speak. Hey, Coach. I'm gonna need Vladdy, buddy.
Yeah, all 2 minutes of Coach.
I'm gonna need Vladdy. All right.
No, Gallant actually stops what he's saying and he looks over and he's like, "Oh, hey, Ray." He gives him a little shout out, like in the middle of his mid thought, whatever. Just gives him a shout out. Hey, Ray.
I promise you, that man has no idea who I am.
I disagree. So you don't give yourself enough credit. You are the in all seriousness, you are the lifeblood of this operation with the Knicks and the Rangers broadcasts on this radio station. He truly is. There is no broadcast without him. None.
No. There's no, no Raymond. There is no Knicks or Rangers on the radio.
And Gallant's like, who's that man following you with an absurdly large soda?
who's that little man with the giant soda?
Please get him out of here.
Who's that guy?
RJ's just enjoying the fact that he's got like a couple more months and then everything changes.
Yeah, probably
there will be no more going to Rangers games.
You ain't going to no rookie camp, prospect camp game, or hey, can I check those out? No.
I'm going to have to practice getting kidnapped.
How do you do that? Have you what do you Google?
Baby
How
Bjorn.
To
Go
practice
baby
getting
Bjorn.
Abducted?
Do I need? Oh, he can't have the soda, so more for me.
You didn't do that on a work computer, did you? Because I think that might be a little bit fishy. They're going to come back and trace that. Maybe
just get some people on payroll.
Yeah, just ask Dave. I'm sure he's got all sorts of.
Dave's got guys.
Yeah, just like Blue,
Dave knows people.
Just like Blue in old school. Maybe
Dave's planning his own kidnap in about 2 days when Sherry's had the surgery.
And we wish Sherry well, by the way, too.
Yes,
course.
Today's the day.
Under the knife, getting the wheel fixed there.
You're
so
my boy, Blue.
Everything be okay. But yeah, so fun night at the Garden if you're RJ. Not so much if you're a Ranger fan, but you know what? Funny thing is about the Metropolitan Division. I mean, anybody could still take this thing. You don't know which team's going to finish first, second, third. It doesn't matter. And it's shaping up to be a fun little last few days of the NHL regular season. And again, for your team, now destiny is no longer in your own hands, which is something you punted away last night down in D.C.
Right. You punted it away. Now you're left hoping that other teams find a way to lose. I mean, Pittsburgh's got two. I mean, they got the Blackhawks.
Pittsburgh's got the easiest schedule known to man. Right. Pittsburgh and Columbus. Chicago and Columbus.
Correct.
With ugly Evgeny Malkin.
Oof. That's the problem, though, too. I mean, he didn't give yourself a chance.
What, that he's ugly?
Now, let's not get wrapped up into the hockey right now.
You know who Malkin reminds me of?
The ugliest man in the world.
That was sad.
No one even played. I mean, it's just first minute done. It's too much. I
couldn't believe it. I thought it was a typo.
No, it did. That happened.
I thought it was a typo.
Nope, it happened.
Because I was all locked into the baseball, and then the game starts and it says 2-0 Washington. I said, nah, it can't be. I thought if anything, it would be 2-0 Islanders, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah, because the Islanders needed the game, and Washington is done.
God, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No, you cannot do that. But
you think this is a reflection on the head coach? LL?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's...
How do you think Lou's going to respond if this thing goes south?
Well, I don't think Lou's done a good job, so, I mean...
Wow.
That's my opinion on that. No Barzell hurts, but yeah, I mean, this is not.
Bo Horvat apologized to Vancouver. That's
which
important.
He didn't have to do.
No, I agree. Come on. You know what? Nowadays, he figures he's going to be here. He's, he put pen to paper. He's an Islander. He doesn't want to, spar any sort of international relations gone south or anything like
right,
that.
Right. But, he was the captain of the team, and Vancouver was a mess. So I get if there was a little bit of frustration, but, this is why he was the captain of the team, though, because he's smart enough to realize Probably not something you say. You apologize.
Got to be more diplomatic.
I mean, apologize for the start last night. Oof.
That is awful. Bad. So we'll get into the hockey a little bit later on here, and it's going to be fun for the next few days. Of course, we got the NBA play-in tournament that starts tonight. Knicks, still not going to take Knicks and Nets, actually. Not going to take the court again until Saturday as we try to figure out the whole playoff picture situation. So we'll have some thoughts on that, of course, here. But got to begin with the baseball last night because some good, some bad. Not so good if you're a Yankee fan. Came up short in Cleveland last night, even though you got him when it counted back in October, of course. But, you know, you could tell the guards got a little bit of extra satisfaction maybe winning that game last night. And then the Mets last night welcome in the tired, bleary-eyed San Diego Padres, who played the night before in Atlanta and had to fly all the way up here. The bats weren't quite working last night for the Pods, and the Mets took advantage, and they had themselves, is it fair to say, their first victory of the season against a real
yes.
team?
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yesterday was an important game. I mean, it was. I mean, especially for Max Scherzer. Right? I mean, first two starts, the first one good through five, gets touched up in the sixth. Second start, not very good. I mean, we talked about this all last week, coming after what you saw at the end of last season. There was a little bit of concern. You're talking about the pitch clock and everything else. And he wanted to come out. We all, as Mets fans, wanted him to come out and pitch well. And I thought for the most part, I mean, was it efficient? No. I mean, it wasn't efficient. He gave you 97 pitches, but...
I was almost pulling teeth, to be honest.
Well, listen, I mean, it's better than the first two.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's better than the first two. Gives up one hit. That's a potent lineup. I mean, did he have his put-away stuff? No.
Not at all.
But listen, it's a step in the right direction. Step in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction, but I'm not going to sit here and throw a parade and say Scherzer's back, the old Max is back, he's figured it out. It's a positive step, like you said, but there are still a little bit of concerns I think you have, and when he takes the baseball again in another 5 days, which is going to be, is that going to be in Oakland, or is it going to be in, is LA's the next stop? So he might be facing the Dodgers next time out, and that's going to be a good test. Because, you know, so many 3-2 counts last night. He didn't have, as you said, his put-away stuff. And, you know, 97 pitches to get through those five innings. It was taxing, grueling. Those are the words that I would use. And thankfully, he was able to escape damage and only gave up the one hit. But I don't think it was like vintage Max Scherzer by any stretch.
No, I don't think it was vintage Max Scherzer either. Next start's at Oakland, so he'll get the A's.
How'd that work for Jacob deGrom last year? Remember that disaster?
Yeah, I do. He grinded it out, man. I mean, this is who he is. He's a bulldog, and he realized that it was an important start for him. I'm sure, listen, I mean, it's so early on in the season, but like anyone that gives you the whole song and dance that it's early, we're not concerned about it, there's plenty of time. As an athlete, you still want to figure things out. Like, you want to get off to a good start. It sets you up for a good season. Yeah, you can. I mean, yeah, it's early, you can battle through it, but I mean, what you saw at the end of last season, coupled with what you saw to start this season, some questions about, you know, older pitchers now on the pitch clock and everything else. I think that was an important early season message for him to send.
And how about the offense? You know, because like they get the two runs and they take that 2-0 lead. You just had a feeling that it wouldn't last, right? You kind of felt like, all right, this isn't sustainable. They're going to have to score a little bit more. You figure that San Diego is going to wake up at some point, especially when they turn the game over to the bullpen, you know, after five innings there. But give him credit. You know, the bullpen, I thought, did an excellent job last night. And then they were able to tack on those few extra runs there in the seventh inning, which you'll probably never see this again.
Never.
As long as you watch baseball. In the seventh inning, the Mets had Luis Guillorme drop a bunt down the third baseline, which is as perfect a bunt as you are ever going to see. And then you had Tomas Nito in the same inning, essentially a swinging bunt, accidentally, of course, which essentially was picture perfect as well. You will never, ever, as long as you watch baseball for the rest of your life, see anything like that happen in one frame. But Mets benefited from it. Those guys came around. They scored runs. Helped them win a game.
Right. Bullpen was good. I mean, you take it, man. I mean, it was nasty what you said about Scherzer before the show. I mean, you pretty much said he was done, which me and RJ were like, we thought we lost. You're very nasty.
Well, sometimes you got
to... I think you realized you were nasty, and then you came in, you're like, well, maybe he's not done.
Well, no. But, I mean, like, sometimes you have to look beyond the box score. And that's how I'm sure people within the organization would look at it, or any type of, you know, scouting or something like that. I mean, he did not have vintage stuff last night, and I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Give him credit, though. He worked his way through.
Let's not pretend like that's an easy lineup to navigate either,
I understand,
though.
But let me ask you a question. If you have that Max Scherzer for the next 6 months... Is that sustainable, that type of performance, where he's maxing out at 93?
Max and Order 93 only giving you five innings? Probably not.
That's,
no.
I mean, come on. I could find that guy on the street that's going to give you five innings.
Yeah,
not for $43 million.
No, not for $43 million. And then we still haven't even seen what Verlander looks like now.
Let's put it this way. Tonight, when San Diego gets a full night's sleep, you know, they didn't get in the middle of the night like they did the night before, and they got Dave Peterson standing 60 feet, 6 inches away, I expect those bats to wake up tonight.
Probably. I mean, that's a good lineup. I will say this, too. And I picked him for some reason to win the MVP because he wasn't very good when he got traded last year to San Diego. And I thought with the protection in the lineup and everything else, he was going to figure it out because he's that good. The Juan Soto act now, and I'm done with it.
You're not into it?
No, I'm not into it. Like
when
whole,
you say the act,
you know exactly
like,
what I'm talking. Staring down the pitcher, the little shuffle towards the pitcher.
Like this, like when he, you know, find it like he's standing there and he's like, when he takes the pitcher,
yes.
He goes like this.
Right, and then kind of like goes towards the pitcher.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you can't, I mean, you can't be at 205.
Well, and that's the thing even last
doing
year. Like because,
doing.
You know, the sabermetric nerds, and look, Juan Soto's a great player, fantastic player, but we get into this all the time on the baseball show. It's like, he's great and all, and everybody wants to give him MVPs and top this, top that. Fantastic. He's not great defensively, number one. And number two, I get it. He's an on-base machine, the walks and all that stuff. But you know what? For all the accolades and all the hype and all the money, can you hit higher than, you know, like you said, 205 last year? What did he bet, like 230 or something like that?
He wasn't good when he got traded, no.
You know what I'm saying?
At
so,
all.
I mean, put the bat on the ball, drive in runs, get on base.
Right,
the whole
just
nine
focus.
Yards.
I don't need you putting on the whole... the whole show. Like,
yeah.
We get it.
I mean, we don't need to, you know, some teams should not be willing to go out there and give you a blank check for $250 million for a guy who's just going to walk all the time. That's like the Joey Votto thing.
Well,
people
then
love
he turned
Joey
out
Votto.
What? He turned out what? $400 from the Nationals.
I know. I'm being generous. $250. Forget it.
Right. So, I mean, it's supposed to, be one of the, supposed to be one of the best players in baseball. I just, like, I'm tired of the act. Like, just go up and do your thing.
Problem is, too, though, if you're in a lineup like that with all that talent, all that star power, you know, sometimes you get lost a little bit. And I wonder if...
He's not supposed to be someone that gets lost in a lineup.
I agree. That's why you got to be a little bit more assertive and aggressive at the plate with your approach. You know, just taking walks, you're going to kind of just fall in line, apart from the guys like Machado, who's going to swing the bat. Bogaerts is there swinging the bat on and on and on.
You get Tatis back.
Think about that. This is, I mean, they're loaded, this team.
Right, of course.
They're
this is a team that's willing to spend whatever it takes, and they're trying to win a World Series.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks, Nets getting ready to embark on the playoffs. Devils and Rangers will be going to the playoffs. Maybe the Islanders, although after last night, you know, who knows if they're even worthy. And then we'll wait and see what happens with the football teams here with the draft a couple of weeks away. Fun times indeed. Tough one last night for the Yankees, who come up a run short in Cleveland. They lose 6-4. You know what we say all the time about when you go up against a really good pitcher? You got to get him early.
Get him early.
Get him early. And the Yankees did that to a certain degree last night against Shane Bieber, but it wasn't enough because they got the two runs right off the bat with Stanton hitting that frozen rope off the wall. But then they shut it down, and you figure that they probably could have tacked on a couple of more there, may have changed the outcome of the game. Nevertheless, they don't score for the rest of the night. Cleveland chips away. Less than stellar start from Domingo Germán, and you got a 3-2 loss on your hands.
Yeah, that was the problem. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, it's, they say about, you know, get to the best pitchers, get to them early, and you had a chance to do that. I mean, listen, Calhoun hits a shot, ends up getting caught, but you only scored two runs there. Then he ends up retiring, what, 12 straight? Domingo Germán was not good.
Big news!
He wasn't. I mean,
jazz hands!
Oh, we got breaking news.
Breaking news?
Yeah. Domingo Germán just walked another guy, actually.
Oh. Yeah, that's not what you want. And then you get a gift from Jimenez that he drops. So you gift them a run there. I mean, who's to say things aren't different? I mean, that maybe that's something that sticks with him because that's an easy... I mean, it's pop-up a bunt. That's a play that he's got to make 100 times out of 100 times. I mean, five walks, no Ks. Only gives you three innings. And then on top of that, I mean, you look at what happened in the eighth inning, right? I mean, you get a Miles Straw decides that he wants to try to be a hero.
I got it.
Until you don't. Yeah. And so that's a Gleyber Torres leadoff triple. And now you got Judge, Rizzo, and Stanton. And you got a check swing pop out to second. And then Rizzo overmatched, Stanton overmatched. And you got to watch, you know, Ricky Von Light celebrate.
And why do you call him Ricky Von Light?
Because that's who he thinks he is. Same number. Like, that's who he thinks he is. Karinchak thinks he's Ricky Vaughn. That's who he thinks he is.
Look, I give Stanton credit. We were talking about this before the show. You saw how demonstrative Karinchak was when he strikes out the side. You know, he gets out of the inning and he's all like, you know, stomping and cheering. You know, he's showing some emotion.
Chest, yeah.
Which you're allowed to do. It's sports. You know, it's competition. But normally in this day and age, if an athlete on an opposing team shows that type of emotion, the guy on the other side is going to get into a war of words with him. He thinks he's being insulted. He thinks he's being shown up. And then there's going to be a bench clearing brawl. I give Stanton credit for just walking away and taking the L.
Well, there's some, like, I mean, you mentioned it to start the show. I mean, there is, this was the team you saw last year. You had the whole thing with Naylor and Gerrit Cole.
Right.
Like, I don't even root for the Yankees, and for some reason, like, I dislike the Guardians.
Yeah, yeah, you
like,
don't
they
like
bother
that
me
team,
for some reason. Well, Naylor bothers me.
And you don't like Josh Naylor.
I can't stand him.
Well, see, because they got a lot of guys on that team who could get under your skin if you're not a fan of them. Because, you know, they're not like a lot of, like, household names. They're not making, like, huge money and stuff like that. They're grinders. They're grinders.
Yeah, it's fine. Listen, I respect grinders, man. I mean, I'm all for grinders. But, like, that whole Naylor thing was way over the top last year. Especially because you're Josh Naylor. He's Gerrit Cole. Like, relax. And then last night, like, I get it. Like,
you're Josh Naylor.
Well, no, but, like, I mean, last night, it's great. Listen, I love emotion and everything else. But, I mean, it's game 11. Let's relax. I mean, it's a big spot, right? Yeah, but it's game 11. Slow down.
And by the way, shout out to the Guardian social media team, whoever those fine folks are. Did you see the tweet they put up last night after they win the game with the graphic?
Hell of a job.
Final 3-2, you know, Guardians beat the Yankees. And then what they wrote was, the Kings of Queens tonight.
Sweet. Or Bronx. Or Bronx.
I mean, they wouldn't expect Cleveland to know.
They would have been closer if they said Jersey. Right?
That's like us saying we were playing against Cincinnati.
Yeah, you're right.
RJ, you know what I took to the city today?
What's that?
The Ed Koch. Oh, yeah. The Ed Koch, baby.
No one calls it that.
Yes, they do. The GPS does.
But I feel like I took the Ed Koch,
right? Oh, yeah. Only single lane today in the Koch.
The Knicks were winning when I was mayor.
Touch and go.
So are the Mets.
It's touch and go. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so Herman, not good. You got the Bieber early, but not enough. He ends up figuring it out. The decision, here's the thing with the Yankees sometimes that frustrates me, is you decide in that spot, okay, Brewer comes in. I mean, the play he made on Kwan behind his back to get out of that jam.
That was a great play.
Unbelievable play. Not even that, like just to knock it down in the presence of mind, not to panic. Gets the runner out at home. Like, that's big time stuff.
That's instinctual right there.
Right, that's big time stuff. But then, top of the lineup coming up, you go with Hamilton. And I know Boone said, you know, we want to reset our bullpen and everything else. But, like I know it's early. I know it's early. Game 10, it's early. But, like, all the wins count the same.
Yeah.
So, like, in that spot, like, Peralta, I mean, there are probably other, that's a high leverage spot. And I get. You know, trying to save your bullpen and everything else. But, I mean, is that the spot?
Well, you walk the first two hitters, and then one of them comes around and scores the
go-ahead run.
Well,
that's because
you're not
paying attention to him at first base. He just steals second.
The free passes, I mean, that's got to drive you crazy. Remember the game the other day? What was it? The Met home opener against the Marlins on Friday. Mets walked, what, 11 or 12 times in that game?
12 times, yep.
I mean, unbelievable. Like, the free passes got to drive you to drink. If you're in that
dugout.
Well,
but not only is it the walk, though, it's that you're not even paying attention to him at first base. I mean, he got one of the great jumps you'll ever see in ever. Gets the second, and then, of course, it's that little fat nugget, Naylor, that ends up game-winning.
You really hate this guy, don't you?
I despise him.
Oh, my gosh.
I despise him. I hated that. There's certain guys, I don't know, for some of his look, I just don't like him at all.
What are we having? In all seriousness, they should get the Colton Brewer Yankeeography in production here, because he was great last night.
He was awesome.
For a guy that didn't pitch in a week, to go out there and kind of stem the tide a little bit from the disaster that was Domingo Germán. Aaron Boone had to be happy about what he got out of Colton Brewer.
Yeah, it was big. Especially, you know, I mean, that's about as tough a spot as you can come into, especially when you haven't pitched in a few days. And I think he falls behind, you know, right out of the gate, maybe 2-0, and then just really makes some good pitches and gets a huge double play ball, obviously. So great job of not only limiting damage, but shutting it down right there and executing in a big spot. So good.
To me, the takeaway more than anything is just, again, like, Herman's not a solution. Like, I know that there's injuries and that's the only reason why he's there, but, like, he can't be a guy that you feel good every time you give him the baseball. I want no part of him, actually.
Well, you have two of them, though. That's the problem.
Right.
Right, you got Clark Schmidt and you have him.
Well, talk about another problem.
Okay, but I think actually for me, and RJ, you guys are the Yankees fans. I thought the bigger problem yesterday was kind of really the problem that the Yankees have had, period, as they try to get over this hump and get to a World Series, was games against good pitching staffs, which they have. Shane Bieber's one of the best pitchers in baseball. They got a good bullpen. Is they're not hitting home runs. They're not scoring a lot of runs. And they struggle to win ball games and to generate runs. I mean, they'll bash the hell out of you, but the games where you actually go up against really good pitching, it's a struggle sometimes for them. And I know this is not their best lineup. Don't get me wrong. I know this is not their best lineup. But in like the eighth inning, that spot, you get gifted a leadoff triple and you got your three best hitters coming up and you get absolutely nothing done. Like, that run has to, you have to find a way to get that run home.
And you get nothing from the bottom of the order.
No, nothing.
Nothing. IKF got a hit last night. Yay!
He did. And then
Yay!
For some reason. And then for some
Yay!
Reason. Oh, my goodness. I can't stand this. This is going to be my. This is the cross I bear, too, especially in men's baseball when, like, I can't deal with stupidity. When IKF decides he wants to get caught stealing third base with Aaron Judge up.
Well, he's like, I can't hit.
What are you
Lost
doing?
My position. Let me try to contribute on the base paths. Nope. That didn't happen.
Like,
either.
What are you doing, though? You can't make that mistake.
Awful.
Aaron Judge up?
Awful.
So dumb.
That's not smart baseball, Bob.
No.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know, certainly more of the focus, more of the conversation is going to be on Knicks Cavs, which, you know, depending on how these first round matchups are going to play out, and we'll find out what they all are entirely after the play-ins here over the last couple of nights, though. But, I mean, you can make a case this is probably as much anticipated a first-round series as you have in the rest of the NBA, and it just happens to be right in our backyard here with all the storylines, Donovan Mitchell, you know. This is going to be a lot of fun. How amped up are you for this?
How amped up am I?
Yeah. You going to be able to contain yourself till Saturday or what?
No. No. I mean, it's good for us. I mean,
it's
that we have this extra time. But no, I mean, not for us. I mean, for our team, for the Knicks. It's good for us with, you know, Julius Randle nursing the sprained ankle, and they're probably not making as big a deal of Jalen Brunson's hand as they probably could be. So the extra days for him is good.
Jalen Brunson at the Ranger game last night.
Right.
He heard RJ was going to be there, and he was like, shoot, I got to go see RJ.
This is how important our guys are. I hope people understand this. Like, yeah, RJ decides he wants to go. People show up. Santiago walks around that place and just swings it.
That's what I mean. So all this time we're wondering about Julius Randle and how he is. Ray, what's the latest? Is Randle good to go or what? What's the how's the ankle looking?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Have you seen his foot?
I mean, I haven't seen his foot.
Text him. Tell him to send you a picture of his ankle.
These are weird. These are
I
weird
want to
questions.
See it.
Have
you
him
saw,
text you,
saw,
you a picture of his feet.
You Ray. Saw him. You saw him walking around at the game the other day. No boot. He looked good. I mean, it's a sprained ankle. What are you expecting?
He's taking after Rick. Also bootless.
Oh, yeah. By the way, let's talk about that.
I can't do the boot no more. It's done.
So you were down on the boot last week.
Yep.
So now today you come hobbling in, no boot. Everything is hunky-dory.
I got a wrap.
Heavily wrapped.
Yeah, heavily wrapped. But I can't do the boot.
But you're going to fight through this thing. Boot is done.
I'm going to battle through it.
When did you shed the boot?
Or just recently.
Just
for today.
Just today. So
yeah,
even
I can't.
You booted yesterday.
Yeah, well, I had the bunion running at the PGA Superstore. We shared a moment, and then I was like, you know what? I think it's time. It's time to shed the boot.
You're done.
I think I'm done.
You think that's going to set back the recovery at
probably.
All anyway?
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
I'm willing to fight through it.
So if Rick has to miss a day or something, right, he has to go on the short-term IL, now we know why. No boot.
No boot. Yeah, but listen, if I have to go on the IL, you're ready. This time in the morning doesn't affect you at all.
Yeah, but I can't. Well, it doesn't affect me at all. But I mean, you know, I don't. I just can't be here to like bail you out if something happens. I mean, you know, we got to clear these things in advance.
No,
I'm a busy guy.
No, yeah, listen, I'll text you. Be in a second.
This feels like we have to save you from yourself.
Right. This is like, this is a quasi-intervention.
It's the story of my career. No, there is no saving me. I will go down. I will go down with the men's league hockey team.
That, I love how that's the priority.
It's all I have, Dan.
Men's league hockey. When's the next one, by the way?
It's my only competition, Dan.
When's the next one?
Listen, who knows? I'm always ready, though. All you got to do is call.
Can't skate.
He's a hard ball.
Can't skate with a boot.
Blocking
can't skate
shots. With a boot.
All seriousness, though, so Knicks on Saturday here, and like you said, the few days are going to do, I think, them good, whether it's Brunson with the hand, whether it's Julius with the wheel, and this team, you would think, right now is as ready to go and take on the Cavaliers and are in as good a position, I would think, to win this series. Maybe this is ever going to be. I mean, the momentum is, look, I think, even though I think as a whole, Cleveland's a better opponent than the Atlanta team that they took on a couple of years ago, I think that you have to probably even feel more confident going into this series than you did a couple of years ago when they took on the Hawks, only because I think this Knicks team is better.
That's absolutely true.
Right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, this is, again, I mean, that 2 years ago going into that series, I think everyone was...
It was like fool's gold.
Right, it was fool's gold, but we were still, I mean, it was an enjoyable season to watch. It was, I mean, everyone was surprised. And then you got to that point where it's okay. It's, you know, a series against the Hawks. And we try to talk ourselves into believing that, you know, we had a chance to win the series. A lot of people picking the Knicks to win in seven. And then, you know, series starts. You kind of get exposed. It was really Julius Randle and no one else. But that's not the case now. It's not the case now. I mean, you got Julius Randle. You got Jalen Brunson. IQ's taking that big step. Josh Hart. I mean, you name it. Like, they actually have. This is a good team. And, you know.
Well, a couple of years ago, came out of nowhere, right? Nobody expected that.
No.
So they came out of nowhere. It had been a while since they were in that type of position. And then you go into the playoffs and you're like, oh, forget it. You know what? Randall's having this great season. We're going to beat anybody. And it's the Atlanta Hawks, right? The Hawks are the other team that you're playing. You're like, oh, this isn't a team that has like championship pedigree. You don't know much about the Atlanta Hawks. And then you went for a rude awakening because the Knicks came out and were just completely flat. And, you know, Trae Young had one of those series. It happens. This, while I think Cleveland is better than that Atlanta team a couple of years ago, like I said, the Knicks are just so much better, I think, and so better equipped for a series and for a playoff drive than they were a couple of seasons past. And I think that the guys who were on that team a couple of years ago, the lessons learned against the Atlanta Hawks are going to benefit them, I think, this time around against Cleveland.
I think the word you just said is the best word. They're better equipped. I mean, outside of, obviously, Randle and his injury. Yeah, I mean, this is a better team. You got, you know, a guy from, you know, the experience that he got last year. Jalen Brunson was really good in the postseason last year for Dallas, right? All the way to the Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, he's got the experience that you need, and he's going to have to be, like, he's going to have to be your best player. He's going to be. I mean, you always call him the most important player.
Yep.
I mean, for closing time and everything else. But, like, you saw what he did without Randle against Cleveland. He dropped 48. Like, Donovan Mitchell still dropped 42. So, I mean, this is, again, like, Jalen Brunson is going to have to be your best player, and you're going to have to continue to do the things that got you to this point, which is, you know, rebound the ball well, to play good, solid defense, get out in transition. Like, Cleveland is a good, I mean, as far as points allowed per game, Cleveland is the best defensive team in the NBA.
How about this? The path to, this might sound strange. I think if you're the Knicks right now, Donovan Mitchell could go out there and go off and go crazy in the series, which in a perfect world, you don't want him to do. But I think if you go out there and let him, you almost say like, okay, he's going to do his thing. As long as you don't let any of those other guys beat you as well, that's almost the plan of attack I think you take into this series. Mitchell's going to get his. Don't let any of those other guys become an X factor in the series, and I think you'll find a way to take care of business. Like, you almost have to plan for Mitchell to go 30-35 a night.
Well, I would expect that. I mean, you're not talking, again, I mean, this, as good as they are defensively, they're not an offensive juggernaut. They're not. Right? So
they're grinders.
Right. I mean, but Donovan Mitchell is, I mean, their backcourt is solid between him and Garland, right? I mean, so it's going to be important to try to slow them down. Donovan Mitchell is going to get his. And you know this series will have a little extra meaning for him, too, because he thought he was going to be a Knick. I just think that the interesting part of this whole series is essentially that storyline with how you view it. If you win, great. It justifies not making the move, not getting it. If you win and Grimes is good and Quickley is good and R.J. Barrett steps up, this is, I mean, that's best case scenario for Leon Rose, right? Like Danny Age was trying to fleece us. We didn't budge. We kept our players, you know, and we're building, moving forward, and you're justified for not making the move. If, for some reason, Donovan Mitchell just goes wild and you lose the series, we're going to take a lot of angry phone calls.
Well, you could lose the series and still justify not necessarily making the move. Like, depending on how... I mean, look, because we think... The great part about it is, like, we could sit here and forecast how we think the series is going to go, the X factors, who's going to beat you, who's not going to beat you. You may end up coming up short, and it's not the guy that you thought all along was going to be your Achilles heel, right? It's possible. Like, what if it's...
Right, that's possible, but I mean, I would fully expect that Donovan Mitchell is going to have a good series. Like, I expect that. I expect Jalen Brunson to have a good series. But if all of a sudden, I mean, we're... Wherever the game is, you'd say game five probably where people would be upset if you lose in five. And R.J. Barrett didn't have a good series. And, you know, Quentin Grimes didn't have a good series. Or whatever it ends up being. Like, the pieces that were involved in that deal. And meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell was awesome. There'll be people that get pissed. I mean, Stephen A. Smith will be screaming at the top of his lungs on First Take about it.
Well, when is he screaming at the top of
his
lungs?
Right, but that's like, that's going to send him over the edge. But...
You hear what Michael said yesterday on the K Show? As far as the series is concerned?
The Kaser wants all the smoke, I think,
Here you go. Listen to this.
I say the Knicks beat the Cavaliers in six games. I believe that the Knicks are clicking on all cylinders. They know the Cavs well. Donovan Mitchell's going to get his bag, but that doesn't mean that Cleveland has to win. I think even without Julius Randle, I think that they can win this. They'll just have to play a different style of game. They've got depth on their team. If you look at the head-to-head matchups, the part that the Knicks outdo the Cavaliers with is bench play. The Knicks bench is better. The Knicks bench is more athletic. The Knicks bench can do things that the Cavalier bench can't. So although Vegas says the Cavaliers are taking the series, Michael Kay says they're not. The Knicks in six. You heard it here first. The Knicks in six, and then they get waxed in the second round.
I don't disagree that the Knicks could win this in six, but that part about Julius Randle, even without Julius Randle, I mean, there's a better chance of Max Scherzer hitting 99 on the radar gun this season than the Knicks winning this series without Julius Randle.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. And I know there's I mean, they were 3-1 against Cleveland.
That is a hot take. Oh, my gosh.
It's very hot.
Wow.
It was spicy when I heard it on the
radio. You
got to
crank the
yesterday.
AC up here, man. Wow.
But this is completely different than the regular season.
All right, let's look at it, because, again, I can't get inside his head. That's the first I heard of it. So it's one thing if it's without Julius Randle if he doesn't suit up. Okay, that's one. But then also, what if you have a situation that repeats itself like 2 years ago, where Randall's playing, he's in the lineup, but he's not the Randall that we saw during the regular season? Can the Knicks overcome that?
And now he's a detriment?
Right.
I'm actually more concerned about that.
You know, because if he's not playing, then you can scheme around that.
Right.
You already know going in, okay, this is a guy we don't have, let's tailor the game plan to one of these other guys. But if he plays, and he's stinking up the joint again, and he's holding the team back, how do you overcompensate for that one? That's the trick.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. Like, that's the one that scares me the most, is that if he's, you know, 70%, but he still wants to be used like he's 100%, that becomes a bit of an issue. Because he's playing, man, and he's gonna want to be the same Julius Randle that we've seen the entire season. He's going to want the ball. He's going to want to come out in the first quarter, establish himself, which he's done all season long. And hopefully he's capable of doing that. Like, the whole notion that you can win the series without Julius Randle, though, I don't agree with.
And that's and look, that will happen, because think about the times when he had those dips during the regular season. Like, the one that stands out to me, of course, is the West Coast trip, right, a couple of months ago, when he had those 2-3 games where it was awful, the Clippers, yep. You know, just disaster. What do they keep telling him, though? Like, Tibbs, you know, when he talks after the game about Randall's struggle, he's like, well, we just told Jules he's got to keep shooting, you know. So that's what he's going to do. Right? So, I mean, if he's missing shots, he's just still going to keep chucking them up left and right. And the Knicks are going to have to live and die with that, though. That's interesting. You know, I'm curious as to what the people think. Can the Knicks win this series without Julius Randle being a significant contributor? 800-919-3776. Want to hear from you. Here's another question.
But it's
question.
More than just the points, though, too. But it's more than just the points, though, with Julius Randle.
Oh,
too.
For sure.
I mean, it's the rebounds. It's the attention he draws. I mean, what drives people crazy is, you know, his decision-making, because he draws so much attention.
Yeah, but he's not one of these guys. Say what you want. you know, you talk about affecting other aspects of the game, like you said. You know, like, and I'm not comparing the two as players' skill sets different, but I'm saying, you know how we always, like, praise Josh Hart? Somebody who only could take, like, three or four shots a game, but he does so many other things to influence a win. That's not Randle, though. Like, Brunson can do that. I'll even say R.J. Barrett could do that. Quentin Grimes could do that. I don't think that's in Randle's game, though. It's just not. Because he's going to keep shooting. Like, Randle's
not
going to have
the
game.
Shots, though. But it's, for me, it's, I don't think it's anyone that watches these games. I mean, does he take difficult shots? Yeah, he absolutely takes difficult shots. I think for most people, it's just, it's the turnovers, man. It's the bad decisions. It's dribbling the air out of the basketball and not seeing the double team coming and turning it over. Or coming flying through the lane and picking up the dribble with no idea where the ball is going. Like, that's the stuff that drives people crazy. It's like bull in a china shop. It's like, I mean, yes, we know, like, the reason why you get the ball so much is because Tibbs knows they're going to come double you. Now it's on you to recognize when it's coming and then kick it to the guy that's open for the shot. And that's not something that he's great at doing, and it drives people crazy.
Do you think there's any way that the Knicks win a short series?
I can't imagine it's going to be a short series.
Meaning short five or less?
No.
I can't see it either.
No.
I just can't. Because you know what? Cleveland's good. You know? And I think that Mitchell, especially those games in that build, and you know, maybe even in MSG too. I mean, he craves the limelight. He knows what it's like to be here. He's going to be as geeked up. Donovan Mitchell might be more geeked up than any guy in a Knick uniform to be playing these games at Madison Square Garden.
Of course he's going to be.
And in a way, you know, not to say that he's unhappy in Cleveland, but in a way to show the Knicks front office, hey, you don't want to give up so-and-so to come get me? You don't want to give up these draft picks? You don't want to give up R.J. Barrett? You don't want to give up Quentin Grimes, whoever the hell it was they were asking for? Now that's what you missed out on.
Yeah, you made a mistake.
And I'm going to end your season.
Right. And what's the thing? I mean, again, so cliche, but it's the truth, man. I mean, this is defense travels.
Yeah.
And Cleveland is a really good defensive team. I mean, when you're talking about having Mobley and Allen on the court at the same time, like, that's tough sledding. So, I mean, Mitch is going to have to strap it up. Hardenstein's going to have to strap it up. You're going to have to try to slow down those guards.
What are they strapping now?
Strapping it up. Chin strap.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Not on, up.
Wasn't sure.
No, I said up, not on.
Can we validate that, guys? That's what he meant, right?
Strap it in.
Right, because that one word could change everything.
How critical is foul trouble going to be then?
That's going to be huge.
Especially for a guy like Mitch.
It's going to be huge.
Against these bigs?
Well, it's going to be huge because, I mean, that's one of the strengths of what this team does, right, is the offensive rebound. It's the second chance opportunities. And that's going to be a big part of this. Like, as good as Jalen Brunson is, Jalen Brunson is not great defensively.
No.
Right. So, I mean,
which we've made peace with.
Which we've made peace with, but again, I mean, it's Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland trying to keep them out of the paint. Can you do it?
Any way you think Tibbs is going to stretch the rotation out to more than nine guys, even though it's the playoffs?
No. If anything, he condenses it. These guys will play more
minutes. Is he going to be like a college coach?
These guys going to play more
like
minutes.
Seven guys?
Right. I mean, well, that was the thing. Like, Obi Toppin's been great, right? But how much is he going to play?
By the way, you know Obi's, what was it? His great uncle called my show on Saturday morning.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Great uncle.
What did he say?
I don't remember.
Great uncle.
I was still trying to. I was trying to put the pieces together as to how he was related. He's like, I'm his uncle, and he started explaining because I thought conventional uncle,
right,
meaning like he was the brother of one of the parents, but it wasn't. Then he starts like explaining the whole like family tree thing, and I'm like, oh, so you mean your great uncle?
It was like Obi Senior's uncle.
Exactly. That's all he had to say, right? But instead, it was this big like convoluted kind of runaround type thing, and then by the end of it, my head was spinning, and I had to go get a drink.
So Knicks win this series. Okay, I'll ask you the question. Knicks win the series. Obviously, Jalen is going to be good. If Julius isn't Julius, right? Like, he's clearly hobbled with this ankle.
If he's Orange Julius.
Right. Well, when he first got here, I would have traded him for an Orange Julius, but he's turned himself into, he's been great.
I don't think I've ever had an Orange Julius, by the way.
Try one. It's good.
Do they still have them?
Yeah, probably.
Are there mall in, like, malls and stuff?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a mall.
Are malls still open? That's the question. If the mall's open, you can find an orange.
Yeah, right. The malls are still
food open. Food court type thing.
Yeah. I used to love the mall walk. Love the mall walk. Who is the next most important Nick?
After Brunson?
After Brunson. If Randle isn't Julius, who's the next most important Nick? Look at you thinking. Taking this question serious.
Off the top of my head, It's one of two guys.
Okay, we got down to two. Good start.
Obviously, the cop out is RJ.
It's all, I mean, that's lazy by you.
You can say Josh Hart.
Ooh, look at you.
You know, all I'm right. on Team Josh Hart. You know I'm on Team Josh Hart.
I think everyone is.
Since day one.
I think every Knicks fan. As split as the Knicks fan base is on Julius, because there's people that can't wait to jump all over him. I think there's 100% of the people that love Josh Hart. I don't think RJ, have we ever taken a call negative Josh Hart? Ever? I don't think we've ever have.
No, the people love Josh.
Love him.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, look at what the guy gives you.
Does everything.
He can be an Anthony Mason-like cult figure here.
It really is, but it's amazing. This is his first time in the playoffs.
Right.
He had to break that hex. And I'm glad that the Knicks weren't scared off by that either. It's like, well, the guy hasn't been in the playoffs ever. You know, we're still going to trade for him.
He's the kind of guy that once you watch him, you could watch a random playoff series, and you love a player like Josh Hart. He just hasn't been there.
Remember that guy that used to play Damian Easley baseball? The Mets had him 1 year. Like, and he was on the team that collapsed in 07. Never made the playoffs his entire career. You wonder why.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.